Hello, geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome to the first Tombs of Horror episode of the new year. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. I hope your guys' year so far has been going well. I know we're barely into it, but sometimes, you know, your year starts out shitty and it gets better. And sometimes it starts out well and gets shitty as the year goes on, and sometimes it just stays good. So I hope that your year goes well. So today I thought I'd talk about a franchise that I've been kind of putting off for a while. Mainly because there's really only two good movies in the entire, maybe two and a half good movies in the entire franchise. So I've kind of put it off and put it off, but I decided, what the fuck? It's a new year, so why not? And there's only four more episodes after this one until the season finale, so why the fuck not? And that franchise, my dear friends, is the Critters franchise. And we are going to be starting off with 1986's Critters.
Of all the planets in the galaxy, they chose ours. They hide in small places.
This phone is dead.
What?
They light the dark.
Jay, any luck?
Just a minute.
There's nothing cute about them. They've come a long way, and they're hungry.
On an asteroid prison, a group of dangerous aliens known as Krites are set to be transported to another station. The Krites engineer an escape and hijack a ship, prompting the warden to hire two shape-changing bounty hunters to pursue them to Earth. Studying life on Earth via various satellite television transmissions, the first bounty hunter assumes the form of rock star Johnny Steele, while the second remains undecided, thus retaining his blank, featureless head. Meanwhile, on a rural Kansas farm, the Brown family sits down to breakfast. Father Jay and Mother Helen send teenage daughter April and younger son Brad off to school while waiting on mechanic Charlie McFadden. A former baseball pitcher, Charlie has become the town drunk and crackpot, with claims of alien abductions foretold by messages through his fillings. Playing with the overtly potent self-made fireworks and Charlie's slingshot, Brad takes the blame when Charlie accidentally shoots April, and for Brad's punishment, he gets no dinner for the day. On the roof that evening, Brad mistakes the critter's crashing spaceship for a meteorite, and Jay and Brad investigate and interrupt the creatures consuming a cow. The creatures then kill and feed on a local police officer, and later besiege the farm and cuts electrical connection. While checking the circuit breaker, Jay is attacked by one of the critters and is severely wounded, but just barely manages to escape. In the barn, April is about to fuck her boyfriend Steve when he is killed by one of the critters. The creature itself is slain when it devours one of Brad's lit fireworks, and the remaining critters sabotage the Browns and Steve's cars, forcing the Browns to hole up inside the main house. Meanwhile, the two bounty hunters search the town for the critters, causing a panic at the church and bowling alley, with the second hunter assuming the form of various townspeople, including Charlie. Brad escapes the farm to get help and runs into the bounty hunters, and upon learning of their true nature and intentions, he leads them to the critter's location. However, the last surviving critters kidnap April and return to their ship when the bounty hunters arrive and attempt to flee. Charlie and Brad manage to rescue April, but Brad drops a large firecracker he intended to use to destroy the ship when the critters discover their escape. Just as the critters take off and destroy the farmhouse out of spite, Charlie throws a Molotov cocktail made from his whiskey bottle into the ship, causing a fire which detonates the crackers and kills all the critters. The bounty hunters then leave in their ship after giving Brad a handheld device to contact them in case of future invasion, and also restore the house. However, unbeknownst to them, critter eggs can be seen in the barn inside a chicken's nest that seems to be ready to hatch, and the movie fades to black. The first film in the franchise, obviously. This, in my opinion, is the best of the bunch. It has a bunch of familiar faces in it, such as D. Wallace Stone, M. Emmett Walsh, Billy Zane, Scott Grimes, and Don Opper. And it's actually really good for a pretty low-budget B-movie. There's humor in it, and even though the Krites, or critters, if you will, are all quite obviously rubber ham puppets, kind of like they were in, well, not the same creatures, but kind of like the creatures in Ghoulies were, they're still decent enough, and they have some humorous lines, even though it's all in their own language and in subtitles. But it's definitely one you should see. It's a classic you should see if you've never seen it before. This had a budget of $3 million and ended up bringing in $13.2 million at the box office. IMDb gave it a 6.1 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 50%, Letterboxd a 3 out of 5, and I give it a 3.8 out of 5. Or actually, you know what? Scratch that. I give it a 4 out of 5. And that leads us into the first sequel, 1988's Critters 2, The Main Course.
Grover's Bend. It's just a speck on the map of the universe.
Transform.
They get a different class of tourist here.
Company's coming.
Noisier. Pushier. They're turning this peaceful little town into dinner. Critters 2.
I can't hear you. Get anybody out there,
hear me? We need a sheriff.
Go check the yellow pages.
Those hungry hairballs from outer space are on a roll.
Let's just get help. Oh, who are we gonna call? Critter Busters?
These guys are great.
And they'll eat anything.
We're gonna end up tomorrow's leftovers.
On a desolate planet, the shape-shifting bounty hunters Ugg and Lee and their human companion Charlie McFadden, who left with them at the end of the first film, search for a vicious worm-like creature. After killing the beast, they depart the planet. Soon afterwards, they receive a new assignment by Xanthi, head of the High Council. He tells them that critters are still on Earth and must be destroyed. With that, they set a course for Earth. And noticing Charlie brooding, Ugg inquires what is wrong. Charlie states his reluctance to going back after 2 years and asks, concerned, whether they would leave him there. But Ugg assures him they have no such intentions. Meanwhile, back on Earth, Brad Brown, now 15, is visiting his grandmother in Grover's Bend, and word gets around the town fast, implying he became well-known after the events of the first film. Shortly after the bounty hunters arrive, the critters attack a man dressed as an Easter bunny, killing him. No one is aware that it was the critters who attacked him, as his death is attributed to a farming accident. Eventually, however, the critters make themselves known when they begin terrorizing the town, growing in large numbers. Lee, the bounty hunter, is killed and devoured by the critters, causing Ugg to slip into a deep depression and revert to his alien form. The remaining townspeople devise a plan, and with Ugg polymorphed into a critter, they lead the critters to a burger factory in an attempt to blow them up, but that fails, and the critters reemerge, joining together into a large ball, and they begin heading to the church. Just before they reach it, however, Charlie flies directly into them with Ugg's spaceship, successfully destroying the critters and seemingly sacrificing himself. Ugg then takes on Charlie's facial features in honor of his bravery, and the next day, as Brad departs, it is revealed that Charlie survived by using a parachute. He stays on Earth, becoming the sheriff of the town, and Ugg departs in a new spacecraft, still wearing the guise of Charlie. This first sequel is probably the second best in the entire franchise. I mean, it's not much changes story-wise, I guess, from the first film, but it's still entertaining enough, with Scott Grimes reprising his role as Brad, and Don Opper reprising his role as Charlie once again as well. I lost myself in my notes, as usual. And there's a lot more humor when it comes to critters this time around, which can kind of be distracting, but it's not that big of a deal, I guess. The only really distracting thing about it is, once again, the subtitles you have to read to understand what the fuck they're saying. This was made for $4 million, but only brought in $3.8 million at the box office. IMDb gave it a 5.5 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 31%, Letterboxd a 3 out of 5, and I give it a 3.4 out of 5. Next up, we have 1991's Critters 3.
Visit.
Call the army. They're here.
Who?
Them?
You thought they were destroyed. But they return.
And they're getting bigger.
After the second encounter, you thought the fuzzy devils were dead. But you were wrong.
You're not as smart as you think you are.
The critters are back. They've just rolled into the big city.
Oh, safe at home.
In search of new neighbors.
They're aliens.
Aliens in the base.
You have to believe her. They're big, they're huge.
Footballs. And they're never late for dinner.
We don't have a gun up here, anything like that.
How about a meat cleaver?
What is eating him?
And that.
Critters 3. You are what they eat.
Open wide.
Taking place somewhere after the events of the previous film, Charlie McFadden is tracking down the last of the critters. A family of three, Annie, Johnny, and Clifford, stop at a rest stop when their car's tire pops. At the rest stop, Charlie warns them and Josh, stepson of a corrupt landlord, about the critters. As this happens, a critter lays eggs under the family's car, and the family leaves, not knowing that they are taking the eggs with them. Soon after they arrive at their new tenement, the critters hatch and attack the sleazy maintenance man, Frank. When the landlord arrives, he too is eaten by the critters, and after Josh locks him in Clifford's room, unknowingly trapping his stepfather with the creatures. Next, one of the residents is attacked and wounded. Annie, her family, and five others, including Josh, try to get to safety in one piece by getting to the roof of the building. Charlie then arrives and destroys the remaining critters, saving the remaining tenants. The film then ends in a cliffhanger, as Charlie's about to destroy two critter eggs, but is ordered not to, and a containment pod sent from the Intergalactic Council crashes into the basement. In my opinion, this is the worst of the sequels. It's just pretty fucking stupid. And it, even though it marks the film debut of Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm sure he wishes he would have picked a better movie to start his career out with. Kind of like Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun, I'm sure Leonardo DiCaprio looks back at this and, like I said, really wishes he hadn't chosen this as his first fucking movie. This is where they started adding a little bit of slapstick to the critter's behavior, which gets annoying at times. I mean, these guys are supposed to be scary and vicious, not fucking pulling Three Stooges routines. I guess it's okay for what it is, but definitely the weakest film in the franchise. IMDb gave it a 4.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes a 20%. Letterboxd a 2 out of 5. And I give it a 2.2 out of 5. And that leads us into the third sequel, 1992's Critters 4.
You've seen them wreak havoc on Earth. Those two eggs are the last two eggs. You are instructed to place the eggs in the pot.
The last two eggs were launched into orbit.
It won't scan. I can't tell you what's inside.
And now they're having a blast.
He's going for the pod.
In outer space.
That's the critters!
I'm a bounty hunter.
Floating out in that pod for over half a century.
The killer hairballs have relocated.
I got him!
Congratulations, Charlie. You have just burgered the ship.
Get another ship.
It's the only ship, you idiot!
And have a new place to play.
What are these?
Those are eggs. They've been busy.
They're dining from an all-new menu of cosmic cuisine.
You know, those, man-eating hairballs that you do not believe in. They are real close. I'm eating.
But they'd rather eat on Earth.
I propose that we just hole up here and wait for them to come rescue us.
Our company!
Hey, hold.
Where are the eggs?
You do not come in here with your goddamn stormtroopers.
Someone must cooperate.
I hear you wanted these?
The eggs.
These are the last ones.
Critters 4.
They're
invading your space.
Chill out, asshole.
Taking place directly where Critters 3 left off, Charlie McFadden, still in his role as an alien bounty hunter, is about to destroy two Critters eggs. He is suddenly stopped by a hologram message from his alien friend Ugg, who tells him the eggs are the last two Critters in existence, and that it is against an intergalactic law to cause their extinction. Charlie protests that the Critters are too dangerous to keep alive, but he obeys Ugg's orders to place the eggs in a preservation capsule that suddenly falls from the sky. As Charlie puts the eggs into the pod, however, the hatch closes on him and he is launched into space. Over a half century later, in 2045, the crew of the salvage ship RSS Tessa finds the pod in deep space and brings it aboard. The ship is crewed by the shady and lecherous Captain Rick Buttram, along with his eccentric engineer Al, pilot Fran, cargo specialist Bernie, and young engineer apprentice Ethan, who anxiously anticipates seeing his father back on Earth. While Rick and Bernie bully Ethan, Fran and Albert show him more appreciation. After examining the pod, Ethan discovers the emblem of the old Intergalactic Council on the side and questions the legality of claiming it for salvage. After reporting their find, the ship gets a communication from Counselor Tetra of Terracor, who offers Rick 3 times the going rate if he brings the pod to a nearby station. Fran, Bernie, and Albert encourage Rick to accept the deal, but Ethan disputes going off course as it will delay his trip back home. Eventually, the crew decides to go to the station, but finds the facility abandoned and barely kept running by a malfunctioning central computer named Angela. that will not obey orders unless given the exact opposite instructions. Matters become more problematic when Albert learns the reactor is leaking radiation, although he does not anticipate it becoming critical for a month or so. Rick, however, has bigger plans and secretly decides to rip off the others and take the contents of the pod for himself. Eventually, Ethan stumbles upon Rick tampering with the pod, and Rick offers to cut him into his scheme, saying his plan will get them back to Earth sooner. When Ethan refuses to abandon the others, Rick knocks him unconscious with the fire extinguisher and manages to open the pod, encounter an excited Charlie, who quickly jumps out. Infuriated, Rick refuses to believe Charlie is the only thing in the pod and crawls inside for himself. There, he discovers the freshly hatched baby critters, who quickly attack and kill him. Charlie then tries to shoot the critters with Rick's gun, but the critters manage to run off. He then revives Ethan and goes off to pursue the critters with the confused boy in tow. Eventually, they meet up with the rest of the crew, and Charlie explains who he is and how he came to be in the pod. While the crew contemplates his wild story, Bernie departs, refusing to believe that man-eating furballs are running loose on the station. Ethan then uses a computer keycard that he earlier found outside a research lab to access a report made by Dr. McCormick, who reveals that she was conducting research on various alien organisms for use as a bioweapon. Unfortunately, however, her creations could not reproduce on their own, and she requested finding a suitable organism capable of rapid reproduction. After realizing what has been going on aboard the station, Albert strongly suggests that they get the fuck out of Dodge. Meanwhile, Bernie sneaks into the station's pharmacy to steal drugs, and the critters sneak up on him, and he becomes their next meal. After the others find his remains, Angela announces that the reactor will go critical within hours and start sealing out sections of the station. Albert realizes the reactor was in far worse shape than he originally thought, and the crew are then forced to crawl through tight service tunnels to reach their ship, during which they find a clutch of freshly laid critter eggs and learn the critters are breeding. But unbeknown to the crew, the critters have made their way to the Tesla and programmed the ship to head for the nearest inhabited planet, which is, of course, Earth. One critter tells the others to go get the kids while it preps the ship for takeoff. And once the crew arrive, Albert hands Charlie the only weapon he has, which is an antique Colt revolver. Charlie wastes no time using it when he encounters the critters on the ship, but his shots not only kill the critters, but destroy the flight controls, leaving the ship dead in the water, if you will. While the crew attempts repairs, Ethan takes the gun to hunt down the last critters himself, and he finds a creature in the science lab using equipment there to rapidly grow several other baby critters to full size. He then runs back to the ship to warn the others, just as a TerraCore ship carrying Tetra and his troopers arrive. The surviving crew rush to meet Tetra, but finds the troopers pointing their weapons at them. Tetra demands the critter eggs, but Albert refuses to be threatened when Ethan arrives just as Tetra shoots and kills Albert. Tetra then knocks Fran to the deck, while Charlie stands confused that his old alien friend Ugg has turned selfishly evil. Tetra being Ugg, which I didn't mention. Ugg then says things change and then orders his troops to go find the eggs. Still hiding unnoticed, Ethan runs back to the science lab and sets up a trap for Tetra's troopers. When they arrive, he seals them inside with the pack of hungry critters. He then retrieves the critter eggs from the tunnel and brings them back to Tetra while juggling them carelessly in the air. To Tetra's astonishment, Ethan purposely drops and breaks two of the eggs, leaving just one left. After Tetra threatens to kill Fran, Ethan tosses the last egg to distract him, and Fran then notices the revolver hidden in Ethan's waistband and quickly strikes Tetra in the head with it, knocking him out. Charlie and Fran then rush aboard Tetra's ship to prepare for takeoff, but Ethan lingers to mourn over Albert's body. Suddenly, the last critter appears and attacks him, but Ethan manages to flash freeze the critter with the fuel hose. As Ethan recovers, he finds Tetra pointing a gun at him, and Charlie returns and points the revolver at Tetra, who doubts that Charlie even has the guts to pull the trigger. Charlie utters, "Things change, Ugg," and blows him away. Angela then warns that the reactor will go critical in a matter of moments, and the survivors rush aboard Tetra's ship to escape. As Angela counts down to, Jesus, As Angela counts down to detonation, the station suddenly explodes a few seconds early, leaving Ethan to laugh at how stupid the computer was and that it could not even correctly tell time. With the critters now extinct, Charlie, Fran, and Ethan depart on their continuing voyage to Earth, and Charlie contemplates on how the future will look bright for him. This is a movie I included when I said it only had about 2.5 good movies in the franchise. The first half is good, but then the second part just gets stupider and stupider as it goes on. I mean, this was released around the time when a lot of franchises were deciding to go out into space, like Hellraiser and Leprechaun, and even fucking Friday the 13th, which came a few years later with Jason X. But still, for some reason, a bunch of horror franchises were deciding to put their movies in space for some fucking reason I never really fucking understood. And even though this isn't one of the best movies in the franchise, it does have a pretty good cast. Angela, you know, I wonder though why if Angela Bassett, Anders Hove, and Brad Dourif were hurting for a paycheck to appear in this, or if that's the reason why they were willing to subject themselves to this shit. Like I said, it's not the worst in the franchise, but it's pretty close. IMDb gave it a 4.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 10%. Letterboxd, a 2 out of 5. And I give it a, to be generous, a 2.3 out of 5. The franchise would lay dormant for the next 27 years until when, in 2019, a web series was produced called Critters, A New Binge. I'm not really going to get into it because it's not really all that great. For the most part, the acting is terrible and the critters look like complete shit. It's really not worth your time watching. I've seen it, obviously, but it's really not, like I said, it's really not a necessity to this franchise. And that leads us to the final film so far, or for now at least, in the franchise, and that is 2019's Critters Attack.
86. They invaded our world.
Drea, did you see that? I think it was an alien spaceship.
Don't be weird, fella.
Now they're back.
Hello?
And hungry. For more.
Great.
They're furry.
Oh, he's so cute.
Ferocious.
What the hell is that?
And they love.
What's that sound?
Fast food.
Aliens are real.
Hey, Drea. How's babysitting?
It's going great.
This time,
you're telling me this was good?
Everyone is on the menu.
We're all gonna die tonight, aren't we? Who the hell is that?
I don't know, but that's a really big gun.
Critters Attack.
I'm gonna just give a very brief description about this. Seeing as how, you know how I said the third one was probably the worst in the franchise. This one actually is, and it really just ends up pissing me off. So, basically, while babysitting two teenagers, college student Drea discovers that the alien Krites have landed in a nearby forest, and that they're there hunting for a renegade princess, Krite, which has also landed on Earth. The critters then do what they do, attack a bunch of village people, blah, 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 blah. And Drea and the others soon receive help from a mysterious Aunt Dee, who might have a history with the Hungry Intergalactic Beast, which she does. As I said, this is probably the dumbest fucking entry in the franchise. I mean, the acting's pretty fucking terrible. The story's stupid. While the Krites were more entertaining as humorous, this time around, they're more back to evil and eating everything in fucking sight, which isn't terrible. Krite puppets are probably the best they've been in years, even though they are still quite obviously rubber ham puppets. But they look pretty fucking good, in my opinion. And the only other good thing, or the only other thing this movie does right, is it brings Dee Stone back into the franchise, even though she's really given very little to do until the end. And even then, she doesn't really do all that much. But I give this the lowest score in the franchise, and that's a 1 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for me today, for this episode. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. Just say hi, tell me what you like about the show, whatever, I don't care. And I might even read it on the next episode. Also, at some point this week, my band Raped by Wolves will be releasing a new EP, Direwolf, probably near the end of the week, and that'll be on Spotify and all other major listening platforms, so keep an eye out for that. And that wraps it up, guys. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.